الحمد لله رب العالمين، اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، we continue with شرح العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمة الله عليه، the شرح of our beloved Sheikh, the late Sheikh محمد بن صالح بن عثيمين. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to shower His mercy upon him and to make him among the righteous servants on the Day of Judgment. The 11th ayah we have been quoting in the context of proving that Allah Azza wa Jal has no equals and nothing like unto Him. Al-ayatu al-hadiyatu ashar, aw ashara, qawluh, فَلَا تَضْرِبُوا لِلَّهِ الْأَمْثَالِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So put not forward similitudes for Allah, meaning there's nothing similar to Him, nor anything that resembles Him, nor is there anything that resembles Him. Verily, truly, Allah knows and you know not. The Shaykh, this is Surah An-Nahl, verse 74. يعني لا تجعلوا لله مثلا, meaning do not set up anything that is like Allah. فتقولون مثل الله مثل الله كمثل كذا وكذا. So you say Allah is like that, right? The example of Allah or the similitude of Allah is like such and such. So in essence, we're basically we're making others at the same level with Allah, and this is not the case. أو تجعل له شريكا في العبادة, or that you set up partners in worship with Allah سبحانه وتعالى. إن الله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون, أي يعني أنه سبحانه وتعالى يعلم بأنه ليس له مثل. Verily Allah knows and you know not, which means that Allah عز وجل knows that there's none like unto Him, there's none at His level. وقد أخبركم بأنه لا مثل له, and He had informed you that there's none like unto Him. في قوله تعالى ليس كمثله شيء, the ayah which we also know inshallah, the only ayah which I hope that we at least can all get from this durus is ليس كمثله شيء. But this ayah subhanallah is the strongest ayah in terms of refuting anyone who deviated from the path concerning understanding the names and attributes of Allah. It negates both the mu'attila and the mushabbiha. The mushabbiha who say that Allah is like His creation, the ayah says لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ, there's nothing like unto Him. And those who deny Allah's names and attributes, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, and He is the all-hearing, all-seeing. So He negated having equals, confirmed having qualities which the human beings have in a very particular, specific manner, unlike that of Allah Azza wa Jal. The name is the same, but the essence is not the same. So, you know, this is the ayah. وَقَوْلُهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ, and there's none comparable to Him, or none co-equal to Him. وَقَوْلُهُ وَهَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًّا, do you know anyone who is similar to Him? وَمَا أَشْبَهَ ذَلِكَ فَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, and whatever similar to that, and the bottom line is that Allah knows and you know not. So don't say something that you don't know about. وَقَدْ يُقَالْ إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةَ تَضَمَّنَ الدَّلِيلِ الْوَاضِحَ لَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِثِلْ وَأَنَّهَا قَضَرْبِ الْمَثَلِ فِي امْتِنَاعِ الْمَثَلِ. We can also say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala points out in this that we do not therefore know. In this sentence, there's a clear evidence that there's nothing like Allah. And it is as if Allah is striking an example to show us that there's nothing like unto Him. لأننا نحن لا نعلم والله يعلم, because we do not know and Allah knows. فإذا انتفى العلم عنا وثبت لله فأين المماثلة. Subhanallah, even in the very ayah, if the knowledge is been denied of us, having denied having that knowledge, and Allah Azza wa Jalla has affirmed it to Himself, so where's the comparison? Even in the knowledge, you don't know and Allah knows. فهل يماثل الجاهل من كان عالما, can the ignorant be compared or similar to the knowledgeable? Subhanallah. ويدلك على نقص علمنا أن الإنسان لا يعلم ما يفعله في اليوم التالي. To prove to you how ignorant or how the lack, the extent of lack of knowledge which we have, is that a person does not know what he will be doing tomorrow. Allah says, وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا. It was reciting this in the salah, and no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow. وأن الإنسان لا يعلم روحه التي بين جنبيه. In fact, you do not know the very soul that is within your body. ويسألونك عن الروح قل الروح من أمر ربي وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. And they ask you concerning the soul. Say, the soul is from the command of my Lord, and you have been given of knowledge but little. We don't have. Then even your own soul, you cannot define it. There's no definition. There's no knowledge, real knowledge. Even the scientists with all the studies, they can't get nothing. And the Shaykh says, وما زال الفلاسفة والمتفلسفة وغيرهم عفوا يبحثون عن حقيقة هذه الروح ولم يصلوا إلى حقيقتها. The philosophers and those who indulge or get involved in philosophy and others have continued to study the reality or the essence of the soul, and they haven't been able to come to its reality. They haven't been able to grasp the essence of the soul. مع أنها هي مادة الحياة. Even though it is the essence of life, it is the purpose, it is how you survive. I mean, once the soul is gone, your body is a corpse. It's nothing. وهذا يدل على نقصان العلم في المخلوق. And this teaches you the deficiency of knowledge in the creation. لهذا قال الله تعالى وما أوتيتم من العلم إلا قليلا. This is why Allah says, and you have been given of knowledge but little. Wow. Interesting. الخبرية المعنوية active qualities known. ما شاء الله تبارك الله. Maybe we'll أبشر. فإن قلت كيف تجمع بين هذه الآية فلا تضربوا لله الأمثال إن الله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون وبين قول تعالى فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا وأنتم تعلمون. ما شاء الله. The Sheikh said, if it was said to you, or if you say, how do we harmonize between, or how do we bring about a relationship between these two verses? So do not put forth or any similitude for Allah. Truly Allah knows and you do not know. And the statement of Allah, so then do not set up any equals with Allah while you know. In one ayah he says, you don't know and Allah knows. And another one says, do not set up equals while you know. So in one ayah he denied, the other one he did. How do you bring a relation? الجواب أنه هناك يخاطب الذين يشركون به في الألوهية فيقول فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا في العبادة والألوهية. The answer is, in the first ayah, Allah is addressing those who associate partners with Him in worship. In worship. A. So He said to them, then do not set up rivals with Allah. في العبادة, in worship, ألوهية, in deifying Allah عز وجل. وأنتم تعلمون, or deifying other than Allah عفوا. وأنتم تعلمون, while you know. أنه لا ند له في الربوبية. While you know that there is none equal to Allah, or no rival to Allah in His Lordship. So now that you know that Allah is the creator, sustainer, provider, then do not set up others in worship to Allah while you acknowledge, you know that Allah is the only Rabb. Hey, clear? Jameel. بدليل قوله, and the evidence for that is what preceded. يا أيها الناس اعبدوا ربكم الذي خلقكم والذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. O mankind, worship your Lord who created you and those who came before you, so you may attain taqwa. الذي جعل لكم الأرض فراشا, the one who has made the earth as a resting place, والسماء بناء, and the sky as a canopy, وأنزل من السماء ماء فأخرج به من الثمرات رزقا لكم. And He sent down from the heavens rain by which vegetation grows as means of sustenance for you. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Then after Allah made you acknowledge that, then do not set up rivals with Allah while you know. أَمَّا هُنَا فَفِي بَابِ الصِّفَاتِ. As in this ayah, the second ayah, the 11th ayah we quoted, the one in Surah An-Nahl, verse 74, this is in the context of the attributes of Allah. Not in the context of rububiyyah and uluhiyyah. This is in the context of sifat, Allah's attributes. فلا تضربوا لله الأمثال فتقول مثلا إن يد الله مثل يد كذا.
What attribute?
Huh?
What attribute?
No. We're speaking in general. The Shaykh was trying to answer, how do you make a distinction between these two ayat? The first ayah, the reason why Allah says, while you know, He made that knowledge because you know rububiyyah, don't negate Allah's uluhiyyah. The second ayah, Allah says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you don't know. This is in terms of the sifat of Allah. You don't know about the sifat of Allah unless what He told you. So do not say the hand of Allah is like the hand of such. أو وجه الله مثل وجه كذا, or the face of Allah or Allah's countenance is like the face of such. وذات الله مثل ذات الفلانية, or Allah's essence is like such and such person's essence. وما أشبه هذا, and whatever is similar to that. Allah's being, yeah, being like such and such. لأن الله تعالى يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون وقد أخبركم بأنه لا مثيل له. Because Allah had already informed us that He knows and we don't know, and that there's nothing like unto Him. There's nothing like Him. طيب. أو يقال إن إثبات العلم لهم خاص في باب الربوبية ونفي عنهم خاص في باب الألوهية حيث أشركوا بالله فيها فنزلوا منزلة الجاهل. Or we can say affirming knowledge to them is particular to ربوبية, and negating knowledge from them is particular to uluhiyya, because they have associated partners with Allah in worship, then they became as if they're ignorant. So now they really don't know, because that knowledge is of no benefit anymore. وهذه الآية تتضمن من الكمال كمال صفات الله عز وجل حيث إنه لا مثيل له. This ayah then contains the perfection of Allah's attributes, indicating that there is none like unto Him subhanah. أما الفائدة المسلكية, as for the practical benefit, عليكم السلام, التي تؤخذ من هذه الآية, فهي كمال تعظيمنا للرب عز وجل. The practical benefit that we attain from this ayah is that we should aim at perfecting our exalting of Allah عز وجل. لأننا إذا علمنا أنه لا مثيل له تعلقنا به رجاء وخوفا وعظمناه. Because if we acknowledge that there's nothing like unto Him, then we will become attached to Allah in terms of hope and fear, and we will magnify Him. وعلمنا أنه لا يمكن أن يماثله سلطان ولا ملك ولا وزير ولا رئيس. And we will know that there's none like unto Allah, no one in authority, not a president, not a king, not a vice president, or not a, you know, a مدير or رئيس or anyone in charge. مهما كانت عظمة ملكيتهم ورئاستهم ووزارتهم. Irrespective of how huge is their dominion and their ownership and their so on and so forth. لأن الله سبحانه ليس له مثيل. Because Allah سبحانه وتعالى has none like unto Him. طيب. So we will have a quick revision. The revision deals with, we said that Allah's names and attributes or Allah's sifat are divided into categories. The ulama divided them into categories. We have Allah's personal qualities, and we said these are called as-sifat al-dhatiyya, right? And they are divided into two, khabariyya and ma'nawiyya. Khabariyya, we said it is informative, and ma'nawiyya, it's abstract. Okay, this is before. Hissiyya. Allahu alam. They're not tangible. They're not tangible. Yeah, khabariyya, they're more different because it was this news given to us, right? Example of sifat al-dhatiyya, al-khabariyya, Allah's eyes, Allah's face. They're not tangible. Absolutely, they're not, right? But they're khabariyya. We had no knowledge of that because no one has seen it unless Allah had told us that He had a face and He had hands. So then it becomes khabar. It's personal quality of Allah. It's a personal quality of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? And it is khabariyya because it's given to us through information, through revelation. The second kind we said is abstract, which is known as al-ma'nawiyya. Examples of that are Allah's life, Allah's knowledge, and Allah's wisdom, and so on and so forth. Right? These are unlike the khabariyya, which is like different. This is ma'nawiyya, things that are abstract. Right? The second kind of qualities are the active qualities. Right? We said as-sifatul fi'liyya. Remember? And we said al-fi'liyya are of two kinds, with a known reason and without a known reason. with their own reason, Allah's anger and pleasure. Right? It's an active quality of Allah Azza wa Jal. It happens due to the occurrence of something. You do something good, Allah will become pleased with you. You repent to Allah, Allah becomes happy with you. You disobey Allah, Allah becomes angry with you. Okay? It's sifa dhatiyya with a known reason. Yani this anger takes place when people do a particular thing. No. This is sifat, sifat, eh, fa'liya, aywa, fa'liya, but with a known reason. طيب, خلي ولي. Then, the fa'liya with a known reason. I'm confused now. The other one is without a known reason, such as... No? Without a known reason. Allah. Huh?
Giving the sustenance to them.
No, this, Allah, Allah, we're speaking about Allah, not the creation. Allah has sifat fa'liya, active qualities. Things that take place, actions that Allah does. Some we know a reason for them. One of the actions is Allah becoming aywa. Allah descending to the lower seven. Why? We don't know of a particular reason, but Allah does it. It's an action that Allah Azza wa Jal does, and it is from the sifat al-fi'liya of Allah for an unknown reason. We have no reason. It is not a consequence of anything. It's Allah decided Azza wa Jal to descend to the lower seven, and so He does. Allah's istiwa, Allah's transcendency, His rising above the throne. Again, we don't know of any particular reason why Allah did that, but He did that Azza wa Jal. Whereas the known reason, we said it becomes a consequence of something. Anger, pleasure, so on and so forth. Then these are for a known reason. Khalas? Good revision. So repeat. Personal qualities. Okay. Sifatul dhatiyya. Two kinds. Informative. Khabariyya. And abstract. Ma'nawiyya. Example of informative. Allah's eye. Allah's face. Don't go like that though. Hey. And the abstract is Allah's knowledge, Allah's wisdom, Allah's life, and so on and so forth. Then the second kind are the active qualities, as-sifat al-fi'liya, known reason, such as anger, pleasure, and so on and so forth, unknown reason, such as descending to the lower seven, and istiwa, rising above the throne. Beautiful. Now who remembers what tahrif, and ta'til, and takif, and tamthil are?
Tahrif, distortion.
Tahrif, distorting the meaning, hello.
Tamthil.
Or the wording, the meaning or the wording. Hey.
Tamthil is resembling Allah.
Tamthil is resembling Allah to any of His creation. Ahsant. Takif.
Takif is asking how.
Hey, what takif is the howness we said, or the manner. Manor. Right, we don't know. Naam, good. And ta'til.
Deny.
Denying the meaning. Denying the meaning. Ta'til. Like sayyara mu'attala. It's a broken car, meaning it's not functioning. So they deny the functionality of a particular attribute. Say, no, you cannot say that about Allah. And so they deny it. Khalas? Tayyib. So that was the 11th ayah, excuse me, which we just dealt with. Surah An-Nahl, verse 74. The 12th ayah in Surah Al-A'raf, verse 33. قوله قل إنما حرم ربي الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن والإثم والبغي بغير الحق وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. Say, but the things that my Lord has indeed forbidden are that الفواحش, which are great evil sins. Fawahish. From fahisha. Singular, fahisha. Sometimes they call it fuhsh. Or fawahish, plural, fawahish. Which are the great evil sins. Not the zina, a'udhu billah, drinking alcohol and things of this nature. These are called fawahish. Okay, because it's abhorrent, if you want to translate it to English. It's so bad that it is abhorrent to human nature. Something that is unacceptable. Like bestiality. Huh? Oh, the kabair included, absolutely. Like bestiality, for example, people sleeping with animals. But you know, it's there. Okay, ma ظهر منها ظهر. ظهر is back.
Back.
Type, what does the back usually mean?
The back.
Or على ظهر. ظهر. ظاهر.
Openly.
Secret. Something that is open, something that is out there. Like ظهر, this is when the sun is at that particular stage, right? يظهر الشيء, meaning to become evident, apparent, to be clear, to be open. So whether these sins are done openly, وما بطن, from باطن, inner. بطن, again it's called بطن because usually it may be in a place where it is hidden, right? It hides your stomach and your abdominal and so on and so forth. Allahu A'lam. But the words are close, right? So ما ظهر منها وما بطن, to turn it to an Arabic class inshallah. ظهر, then what is openly, done openly. بطن, done secretly. So فواحش, whether they're done publicly or done in secret, then Allah had made these forbidden. طيب, والإثم, what does إثم mean? Sins of all kinds, the general kinds of sins, which are lesser than الفواحش. جميل. والبغي,
oppression.
It involves oppression, but it's really transgression. Eh, baga, yabga, غير يبغى هنا, رب يبغى wants, right? Eh, but not this one. Eh, يعني يبغي على الشيء على الناس, يعني he transgresses against them. It's in the Quran. It's in the Quran in more than one occasion. You know that this baga alayhim. Tawaif, Allah mentioned about some of the groups that fought. About Qarun. About Qarun, Allah described that as he did this to his people. فَبَغَى عَلَيْهِمْ, يعني he transgressed against them. And so on and so forth. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالِ, بَغِي is transgression, which obviously involves oppression. Because once you're transgressing against people's right, then you're oppressing them. بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, without a just cause. Because at times you may have to do particular things. For example, one's life is honored. But if he were to kill someone, then he's to be killed. And so this may be transgression in a sense, but bihaq, with right. So it's not really a transgression anymore. وَأَن تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا. أَن تُشْرِكُوا, that you shall ascribe partners to Allah. You shall worship others with Allah. مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ, نُزُول, coming down. That which he did send down no sultan authority. Concerning, he sent down no authority, no, he did not allow you any revelation to ascribe partners to him. وَأَن تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And lastly, that you shall say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. To say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. قُلْ, the Shaykh says, قُلْ الْخِطَابُ لِلْنَبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أي قُلْ مُعْلِنًا لِلنَّاسِ. Say, meaning addressing the Prophet sallam, say, informing the people. Informing, addressing the people. إِنَّمَا أَدَاتُ حَصْرٍ وَذَلِكَ لِمُقَابَلَةِ تَحْرِيمٍ مَنْ حَرَّمَ مَا أَحَلَّ اللَّهِ. إِنَّمَا, here mean, it's here in the context of exclusivity, right? It's an article showing restriction. إِنَّمَا, only. Why? The Shaykh said, this is in refutation to those who had made haram what Allah had made halal. Like the mushrikeen of Quraysh. This camel, stallion camel that has blah blah blah, is haram. We don't eat it. They came in, you know, Surah, if you read Surah Al-An'am, you will see their approach, where they made many things that Allah made halal for them, they made them haram for no reason. If a camel gives two daughters and delivers two she-camels in a row, then her back is haram to be ridden. No one is allowed to ride this animal, right? And if something that, you know, she's only for them, these people, and these are not allowed to consume it. They made things that Allah made halal for them haram. So this was a refutation. إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ, verily the only things which Allah had made forbidden, not what the disbelievers have made forbidden. And then it was broken down in this particular fashion. So as opposed to what the polytheists used to make all things haram. So Allah has only prohibited those. حَرَّم, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prevented the people from getting involved with that thing. That's what it is. He made it haram to get involved with that thing, meaning to consume it, to use it. He prevented, يعني منع, يعني منع, which is prevent, this is forbidden. وأصل هذه المادة حراما تدل على المنع. And the essence of this word, or the root of this word, or the stem is harama, which is prohibited, restricted, okay, and so on and so forth. تدل على المنع, which means or indicates preventive or prevention. ومنه حريم البئر للأرض التي تحميه حوله. Similarly, we have the word حريم البئر, which is the land which is which surrounds the well. Right? And so it becomes the harim, which is the area that is used to protect the bear. So it's like preventing the people from consuming or using water illegally and so on and so forth. لأنه يمنع من التعدي عليه, because it prevents people from transgressing into that area or in those areas. طيب جميل. الفواحش, we said it's the extremely sinful and indecent acts such as adultery, fornication, homosexuality and so on and so forth. جمع فاحشة, the plural of فاحشة, وهي الذنب الذي يستفحش, which is the sin that is just abhorrent, it's repulsive. It's repulsive to the person. It's just disgusting to you. مثل الزنا واللواط والعياذ بالله, such as زنا, fornication, adultery, واللواط, and homosexuality. نعم. الزنا, the Sheikh says, الزنا قال الله فيه ولا تقربوا الزنا إنه كان فاحشة. Do not approach, do not come near to zina. Okay, do not come near to unlawful sexual intercourse. Verily it is a fahisha. It is everything that transgresses the limits. It's a great sin. وفي اللواط قال لوط لقومه أتأتون الفاحشة. And then concerning homosexuality, Lut alayhi salatu wasalam said to his people, do you commit the worst sin, which is the fahisha, this abhorrent, repulsive sin? ومن الزنا أن يتزوج الإنسان امرأة لا تحل له لقرابة أو رضاع أو مصاهرة. The Sheikh says, examples of falling into zina, some examples of falling into zina, is that a person marries a woman who is unlawful to him, either due to blood relation or fostering, or يعني like nursing, which is, you know, according to the ulama, it's five nurses in the first 2 years. You know, one suckling should take a few willful. I mean, there's a breakdown among the fuqaha what is considered to be that. Anyways, or musahara, or one who is related to you due to in-law, your mother-in-law, and so on and so forth. These are haram for a person to marry, right? So once a man marries a woman, he can no longer marry her mother. She's haram for him, and so on and so forth. قال الله تعالى ولا تنكحوا ما نكح آباؤكم من النساء إلا ما قد سلف إنه كان فاحشة ومقتا وساء سبيلا. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says concerning that, do not marry that which your forefathers or your fathers have married among women except that which has passed. Verily it is fahisha, it's an evil, great sin. وَمَقْتًا, it is detestful to Allah. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا, and it's an evil way to travel upon. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Except that which has already passed. Okay, indeed it was a shameful, so on and so forth. بَلْ إِنَّ هَذَا أَشَدْ مِنَ الزِّنَةِ. This is more abhorrent than fornication and adultery. لأنه وصفه بثلاثة أوصاف. Allah gave it three descriptions. Zina, he says, إنه كان فاحشة. This one Allah says, إنه كان فاحشة. Allah gave it two descriptions, عفوان. And this one Allah gave it three. فاحشة ومقتا وساء سبيلا. Detestful, مقت, hatred. Allah hates it. وساء سبيلا. وفي الزنا وصفه الله بوصفين. والزنا إنه كان فاحشة وساء سبيلا. It's an evil way and it is an abhorrent it's an abhorrent evil sin. So then marrying a relative is graver in the sight of Allah. Similarly, according to the ulama, one having relation with his own family, even if it's zina, you know, then not even marriage, right? Just يعني, relation, incest, which is known as incest, then this is more sinful than having zina with a stranger. right? With the relatives is graver. And according to them, some of the ulama, the person is to be killed, irrespective whether he is a muhsan or not, whether he is whether it is fornication or adultery, because there's a difference, right? We said fornication is when unmarried people have relations, and the ruling is that they are lashed 100 lashes. Adultery is when married people, currently married or previously married, have relations, and their ruling is stoned to death. They are to be stoned to death. According to the ulama, even if someone is committing fornication, meaning it's not adultery, they've never been married, but if it's with a family member, they are to be killed. They are to be stoned to death. Hey, because this is a graver sin. Okay, this is according to the Qadi, and so on and so forth. على كل حال. وقوله ما ظهر منه وما بطن قيل أن المعي ما ظهر فحشه وما خفي وقيل المعنى ما ظهر للناس وما بطن عنهم. It was said that it is whatever has become, whether the evil of the sin is known to the people or it is unknown, it doesn't matter, it is still haram. And the other interpretation is that whether that same fahisha is known to the people, it is done publicly, openly or secretly. So two possible interpretations. Because, for example, and if you go to some of the Western countries, they don't look at zina as a big deal. I mean, it's not a big deal. So the fact that the people do not recognize it as an evil sin does not mean that you're allowed to do it. It's still haram for you. So this is one of the interpretations, مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا. يعني it is apparent to the people or it is unknown to the people, irrespective. Once you know, then you don't play with that. Or the other interpretation is the one we explained earlier. If it's done openly or whether it is done secretly. باعتبار فعل الفعل, taken into consideration the one doing the action. لا باعتبار العمل, not taken into consideration the action itself. أي ما أظهره الإنسان للناس وأبطنه, meaning whatever the person does openly in front of people, whatever he conceals, it doesn't matter. وقوله والإثم والبغي بغير الحق, يعني حرم الإثم والبغي بغير الحق, meaning Allah made forbidden sin and transgression without a just cause. والإثم المراد به ما يكون سببا له من المعاصي. And what is intended by إثم are things that lead to إثم, meaning things that lead to the consequence of disobedience or disobedient acts that lead to sinfulness. Okay, this is what is intended. والبغي العدوان على الناس. بغي is transgression against the people. قال الله تعالى إنما السبيل على الذين يظلمون الناس ويبغون في الأرض بغير حق. Verily, the only what is allowed or sabil, you have access to those who oppress the people and they transgress in the land without a just cause. These are the ones that you have the right to deal with them accordingly. If you go, you have to go back to the ayah, see the context. وفي قوله بغير الحق is for emphasis. إشارة إلى أن كل بغي فهو بغير حق وليس المراد أن البغي ينقسم إلى قسمين. Beautiful. The Shaykh said the indication that all kinds of transgression is without a just cause, and not that it is divided into two, with a just cause or without a just cause. So Jazallah khairan the Shaykh. لِأَنَّ الْبَغْيَ كُلَّهُ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, because every kind of transgression is without a just cause. We'll see how the Shaykh broke it down. وَعَلَى هَذَا فَيَكُونُ الْوَصْفُ هُنَا مِنْ بَابِ الْوَصْفِ الْكَاشِفِ وَيُسَمِّيهَا الْعُلَمَاءُ صِفَةٌ كَاشِفَةٌ. The Shaykh said, accordingly, this only explains further what transgression is, that it is no right and truthfulness in it at all. There's no right or truthfulness in it at all. And the ulama call it sifat kashifa. Kashifa is like exposing. It's an exposing quality. أي مبينة, meaning clarifying. وهي التي تكون كالتعليل لموصوفها. So it's like explaining the reason behind it. I cannot explain it any better than that, actually. وقوله أن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا. And that you shall ascribe to Allah partners that which He sent down no authority concerning. هذه معطوفة على ما سبق. This is conjunctional to what was mentioned before. يعني وحرم ربي أن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا, meaning my Lord has made forbidden that you worship others with Him or you ascribe partners with Him whom He did not send any authority concerning. يعني أن تجعل له شريكا لم ينزل به سلطانا أي حجة no proof no evidence. وسميت الحجة سلطانا لأنها سلطة للمحتج بها. And حجة other than حج of course حجة proof was called سلطانا authority because it is authority for the one who's using it as a proof. It gives him authority because he has a proof, right? So it becomes, it strengthens his cause. It's a proof for him. So it gives him authority because of the proof. Whereas if he didn't have any proof, he has no authority. And nobody will listen to him. Say, what do you have to say? Do you have any proof? No. Please leave. But if he had some proof, then that gives him authority. Say, okay, listen to this man. Right? Like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When he came to Fir'aun. And Fir'aun, you know, was not interested, said, you're just coming trying to take the Bani Israel from me. He said, even if I bring to you Shay'un Mubin, something clear, he had Sultan. Said, what do you have? He threw the stick, which became a snake, and a whole other process took place because of the Sultan which Allah gave him, this Hujjah. So he brought the magicians, and there was a competition, and the magicians entered into Islam, and the whole thing happened because Allah gave Musa Sultan. He gave him authority. Otherwise, there could be no case for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Besides, of course, the truth which Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him. But Allah gave him a sultan. Jayyid.
Sultan is authority or power here?
Authority here. Authority. No. I cannot say that it is... our Shaykh didn't translate it as power. It's authority. And this is what I usually known from the tafsir. But it translated as authority. Because the power is quwwah. And so on and so forth, right? It could be in a sense, because authority has quwwa, and you usually don't have authority unless you have power. But the accurate translation is authority for sultan. No. طيب. وهذا القيد ما لم ينزل به سلطان. That which he sent no authority down concerning. نقول فيه كما قلنا فيه والبغي بغير الحق. والبغي بغير الحق أنه قيد كاشف لأن كل من أشرك بالله فليس له سلطان بشركه. So we say about that the same thing we said about transgression without a just cause. It's never the case. There's never a just cause to transgress in this meaning of the word baghi. Like I said, the example I gave you earlier, then probably we do not apply to it the word baghi. Right? We just say that this is adil, it's justice. Even though it appears to the people that you are taking someone's life, which is transgressing against them. But in fact, you're doing it for a just cause. But the Shaykh said that we don't use this particular term, and he made no distinction, so we stick to the Shaykh and you ignore me in every way, shape or form. And the same thing we say about ما لم ينزل به سلطانا. يعني it doesn't mean that there's anything that Allah sent any authority concerning that you can do shirk. It doesn't exist. But this is just a hujja, or the Shaykh said sifa kashifa, qaydun kashifa. It's an exposing element or excuse or evidence. طيب يعني وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون, and that you say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. يعني وحرم أن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. So he made haram that you say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. فحرام علينا أن نقول على الله ما لا نعلم. It's haram upon us, forbidden to say about Allah that which we have no knowledge of. سواء كان في ذاته أو أسمائه أو صفاته أو أفعاله أو أحكامه. Whether it is in Allah's essence, in Allah's being, or Allah's names, or Allah's attributes, or Allah's actions, or Allah's rulings. All of them. فهذه خمسة أشياء حرمها الله علينا. These are five things which Allah has made forbidden. Who can repeat them for us without looking at the book?
Name.
Don't look at the book. All of you don't look at the book. The five things that Allah made forbidden, Ibrahim. We have been talking about them this whole time. Alcohol. Fawahish. Baghi. Ithim. Okay, one more. وأن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطان الله. فواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن, the sin, the evil, great evil sins, what is apparent and what is hidden, openly, secretly, fawahish. That's the first thing. Al-ithm, the sin, general, al-baghi bi-ghayri al-haq, transgression without a just cause, and tushriku billahi ma lam yunazil bi sultana, that you ascribe to Allah upon which He did not send any authority concerning, wa an taqulu ala Allahi ma la ta'lamun, and that you say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. Alcohol, and what it tells me, the names and attributes, shahada. Ithm. Ayyuh, zina is fahisha, same. Fahisha singular, fawahisha is plural. Like rajul, man, rijal, men. Right?
Who is categorizing
between
the
fawahish? Huh? Fawahish is greater evil sin. Whereas ithm are the regular sin. Khalas? Tayyib, jayyib. وفيها رد على المشركين الذين حرموا ما لم يحرمه الله. And in this ayah is a refutation against the mushrikeen who made haram that which Allah did not make haram. إذا قال قائل أين الصفة السلبية في هذه الآية. If someone asks, where is the negating quality in this ayah, what do you say without looking at the book? And if you look at the book, don't answer me. Where is the negating quality in this ayah? Because this whole ayah and the 10 ayahs which we dealt with before, or 11, excuse me, were in the context of negating Allah, the negating some qualities. So where is it in that ayah? The same ayah we gave with Ibrahim. Yes, Ibrahim. Where is the sifat salbiya? Where is the negative quality? هي أن تشركوا بالله ما لم ينزل به سلطانا وأن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. This is a negating quality. فالإثنتان جميعا من باب الصفات السلبية. Both qualities are negative qualities. وأن تشركوا يعني لا تجعلوا لله شريكا لكماله. When Allah says أن تشركوا, that you ascribe partners, meaning do not make partners with Allah because of Allah's perfection. So he's negating. Hey. وأن تقولوا على الله ما تعلمون كذلك لكماله. Because of Allah's perfection and greatness, then do not say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. فإنه من تمام سلطانه أن لا يقول عليه أحد أو ما لا يعلم. So from the greatness of Allah's authority is that none should speak about Him without knowledge. طيب. والفائدة المسلكية من هذه الآية أن نجتنب هذه الأشياء الخمسة التي صرح الله تعالى بتحريمها. Among the practical benefits in this ayah that we strictly avoid these five things that Allah had clearly declared to be forbidden. We strictly avoid them. طيب. وقد قال أهل العلم إن هذه المحرمات الخمسة مما أجمعت الشرائع على تحريمها. And the people of Allah said these five matters that Allah has forbidden are among the things that all of the divine laws have agreed to. يعني all of the Musa عليه الصلاة والسلام and Ibrahim and any prophet or messenger who was given revelation and given the law, this was among the things that were common. It's like a common denominator between all of the laws. Something that is just so obvious that Allah Azza wa Jalla make forbidden, not upon the Ummah of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم only, but among all the Ummah. So that tells you that shirk has always been made haram and forbidden. ويدخل في هذا القول ويدخل في القول على الله بغير علم تحريف نصوص الكتاب والسنة في الصفات وغيرها. Now, included in speaking about Allah without knowledge is twisting the text of the Quran and the Sunnah. Twisting the text of the Quran and Sunnah concerning Allah's names and attributes and other things about Allah. فأن الإنسان إذا حرف نصوص الصفات مثل أن يقول. Because when the person explains away the text and twists the meaning, example, he says, المراد باليدين النعمة, what is intended by the hands of Allah is ni'mah. فَقَدْ قَالَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ مِنْ وَجَيْنِ. Then verily he has said about Allah that which he has no knowledge of, and this is from two perspectives. الوجه الأول, the first perspective, أنه نفى الظاهر بلا علم, that he denied the obvious meaning of the text without knowledge. The obvious meaning is what? يدين. يدين means two hands. There is nothing else. This is the obvious meaning. So he denied the obvious meaning. وَالثَّانِي أَثْبَتَ لِلَّهِ خِلَافَهُ بِغَيْرِ دَلِيلٍ. Secondly, he attributes to Allah the opposite of what Allah attributes to himself, right? And then he explains away the original meaning. Two problems. He negates the apparent meaning of the text, then he gives it another meaning, another attribute which Allah did not give, and he explains the first away. This is how they're speaking about Allah without knowledge, from two perspectives. First, he says yadain means ni'mah. So the first problem is that he negated the apparent meaning, which is yadain. Second, he gave it another meaning, ni'mah. What is this? Both of them are speaking about Allah without knowledge, because Allah did not tell you that what is intended by the hands is ni'mah. So how do you deny what Allah says in the Quran, which is apparent in the text according to the language of the Arabs, which they knew what that meant, and you stick and you give another meaning, twist the original meaning and give another meaning and another attribute to Allah which you did not give to himself, without any authority, no hadith, no tafsir of a sahabi, nothing, from your own intellect. This is misguidance, this is dalal. فَهُوَ يَقُولْ لَمْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ كَذَا. So he goes against the obvious meaning of the text, right? And then he says it away. He says, Allah did not intend that. وَأَرَادَ كَذَا. No, Allah intended that instead. فَنَقُولْ هَاتِ الدَّلِيلَ عَلَى أَنَّهُ لَمْ يُرِدْ كَذَا. We say to him, produce your evidence that Allah did not intend such and such. وَعَلَى أَنَّهُ أَرَادَ كَذَا. And that Allah intended such and such. Produce the evidence that Allah did not intend by hands. Hands. And produce the evidence that Allah intended by hands, ni'mah. Ha. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَأْتِ بِالدَّلِيلِ فَإِنَّكَ قَدْ قُلْتَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَمْ تَعْلَمْ. If you do not bring the evidence, then verily you have said about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. Jameel. And with that, we conclude this dars and we conclude this chapter. And next, insha'Allah, is my favorite subject, إِسْتِوَاءُ اللَّهِ عَلَى عَرْشِهِ. Allah is rising above His throne. Very fundamental aspect of our belief system. We will be dealing with it extensively, insha'Allah ta'ala. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ.